Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. And I'd like to dismiss the children's church at this time. And also, while you're turning in your Bibles, I want to say that we're saying goodbye to Juan Ibarra today. Juan, would you raise your... Stand up, Juan. Stand up. Juan is... Thank you, Juan. Juan is graduated from UF and has been plugged into our church. He has been, in my estimation, a model college student. He may even go into modeling. I don't know. But anyway, Juan, you're a blessing to us, brother. Thank you for all your help and your ministry. He's heading down to Miami, but ultimately to, if I have anything to do with it, Southeastern Seminary, but it may be another one. But anyway, he's going to head to full-time vocational ministry. And Juan, we want to tell you we love you. We thank God for you. Thank you, brother. Amen. Psalm 30, and this is about Thanksgiving today. This is a Thanksgiving psalm. There's a lot to be thankful for. Amen, church? We're thankful for Juan. We're thankful for friends. We're thankful for the worship today. We're thankful for our country, for those that have paid the ultimate price. And so this is an appropriate psalm for us to look at as we have been studying in all these psalms. Psalm 30, I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. I have not let my foes rejoice over me. And have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but I love this, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Verse 10, hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. We live in a world where there are two dimensions that operate, the temporal or horizontal world and the transcendent or vertical world. The psalm gives us reason to praise God, but does not deny the challenges that we face here on this earth. We have looked at a number of psalms. The wisdom psalms give us instruction into right living. The descriptive praise psalms, we praise him for his character and his specific works. The lament psalms, when we have trouble, we cry out to God. And then the confidence psalms, we can have confidence in the Lord our God. And today, the individual thanksgiving psalms. The hymn says, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And then the refrain goes, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done, count your many blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God has done. In Bill Hybels' book on leadership, he describes Howard Hughes. He says, all he ever really wanted in life was more. He wanted more money. So he parlayed inherited wealth into a billion-dollar pile of assets. He wanted more fame, so he broke into the Hollywood scene and soon became a filmmaker and star. He wanted more sensual pleasures, so he paid handsome sums to indulge his every sexual urge. He wanted more thrills, so he designed, built, and piloted the fastest aircraft in the world. He wanted more power, so he secretly dealt political favor so skillfully that two U.S. presidents became his pawns. All he ever wanted was more. He was absolutely convinced that more would bring him true satisfaction. Unfortunately, Heibel says, history shows otherwise. He concluded his life emaciated, colorless, a sunken chest, fingernails in grotesque, inches-long corkscrews, rotting black teeth, tumors, innumerable needle marks from his drug addiction. Howard Hughes died believing the myth of more. He died a billionaire junkie, insane by all reasonable standards. David writes this Psalm 30 having had a scare. He had a scare with the concept that he had gotten where he had gotten on his own. The beginning of the psalm says a song at the dedication of the house of David. There's some debate about when this was written. Was it written in response to when they built the palace in Jerusalem? Some think it was written for the dedication of the temple that had not been built when this was written, but for the future. Solomon, as you know, built the temple in Jerusalem. There were some that thought that it was built when David had disobeyed the Lord and taken a census. You see this in Israel's history, and there was a plague that came upon the people, and 70,000 people were killed, and then he built an altar. Some say this is the dedication of that. We're not totally sure. We're also a little bit of debate about whether or not he had some physical ailment. One reason they think it may have been during that time when he built the altar after the plague was that maybe he had gotten some of the plague himself and he cried out to God for healing, because it talks about how that the Lord healed him in verse 2. You healed me. But nonetheless, whatever scenario it was that he wrote this psalm to say to the people of God, be thankful and praise God for his blessings. And don't ever forget that where you are in life, everything good that you have in this life has come from the hand of God. Amen? Everything good that I have in this life, boy, I think about my blessings. Everything good you have in your life has come from the hand of God. Everything that is of value. But sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we're like Howard Hughes. We think there's got to be more. And then in our own haughtiness, we think we can go out and get it. And so I want us to think about the blessings of God today. And I want us to be grateful. Because the truth of the matter is, at one moment, with the finger of God, he could touch your mind and you could become a blubbering idiot. In one swoop, you could have lost everything that is of value to you. And so everything we cherish, everything we have in this world that is of any value, has come from the hand of God. And David needed reminding of that. And we need reminding of that. Now, if you want to know what the other Thanksgiving psalms are, write these down and you can go back and study them on your own. These are the other psalms that are in the category of the individual Thanksgiving psalms. Psalm 18. And of course, Psalm 30, the one we're studying today. Psalm 32, Psalm 34, Psalm 40, Psalm 41, and Psalm 116. Those are the different Thanksgiving psalms. Now, it's interesting also, let me say this. This is a psalm in which God chastised David. So think about this. Here was David being chastised for thinking that in his own strength he could be mighty, and God chastises him. We're going to talk about that. It made David realize that you can't build a life apart from God, and it made him think about whatever building it was, whatever he wrote this for, in the dedication of it, it reminded him of the spiritual rebuilding that needed to take place in his life. And church family, sometimes we need a spiritual reminder and a rebuilding of our own life, and to realize that everything we have in this life that's of any value has come from the hand of God. He had become comfortable in his successes. Now hear me. He had become comfortable in his successes and had not trusted in God. So this is a song of chastisement. It's interesting that you would have a song of a psalm of discipline or chastisement that would end up being a Thanksgiving psalm. Have you been thankful ever because you were disciplined, you know, or chastised? Well, that's exactly what has happened here. It's kind of like when you were younger and you did something that you knew your parents didn't want you to do, and you hadn't been caught yet, and it hurt, and it was such a dilemma, and so you had your hand in a cookie jar, you did something you shouldn't have done, you went somewhere you shouldn't have gone, you said something to somebody you shouldn't have said, you did poorly, and you lied about something, and all of a sudden, when your parents found out about it, even though you were in all kinds of trouble, there was some relief. You know what I'm talking about? You're not looking, you're not shaking your head on that. You're not shaking your head on that, okay. Well, like I was saying, that doesn't make sense, right? No, anyway. But this is the sense of it. He has been chastised, and yet he's come out on the other side thankful that he was caught, thankful that he was chastised, okay? So let's think about five things quickly, and we'll be done today to enjoy this wonderful day and fellowship together in the presence of the Lord. Number one, the blessing of salvation, verses 1-3. He says, you lifted me up. That is a word, a phrase that means to be lifted out of the water. It's the same concept we find in the New Testament when it talks about salvation. You know, salvation is a rescue. Can I tell you this? Have you ever been rescued? Salvation is a rescue. It's not that you were so smart. It's not that you had so much knowledge. It's not that you did something so wonderful or that you deserved it. But somehow God, in his grace and mercy, reached out of heaven and rescued you. This is what it means. This is the same concept. You have lifted me up and not let my foes rejoice. You see, the enemy wants to gloat. Your enemies want to gloat in your downfall. Keep your place there and look at Psalm 35, verse 19. Psalm 35, verse 19. Just turn over a couple of pages there in your Bibles. Oh, I love hearing those pages turn. Psalm 35, 19 says this, let them not rejoice over me who are wrongfully my enemies, nor let them wink with the eye who hate me without a cause. Now, spiritually, we have an enemy, Satan, who's the great deceiver, and he loves it when you fall. He loves it when you're discouraged. He would love to take a creation of God, a human, a soul, and take them to hell. And when he sees them on their way there, he gloats in that. He rejoices in that. Listen, he even winks with his eye to his demons. The demons of hell wink to one another when they see that Satan is succeeding in tearing somebody's life down. And David said, you didn't allow that to happen to me. You lifted me up. You rescued me. The greatest thing that could ever happen to you, ladies and gentlemen, is for you to be born again, for you to give your life to Jesus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That is a decision that you make to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. It's not about denominations, although we're a Baptist church. It's not about being Baptist. It's about being someone who follows what the New Testament says. The New Testament says you must be born again. You must become a follower of Jesus Christ and turn your life over to Jesus Christ. That happened to me as a teenage boy. I'll never forget being in a camp, and they were preaching, and there were several hundred teenagers there. I don't know how many, several hundred. And I felt like I was the only one in the room, and the pastor was saying that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. And he was preaching about Jesus hanging on the cross, and then Jesus was buried, and then Jesus was risen from the dead, and he paid the penalty for our sins. And when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," it means that the price for sin had been paid. It was a price I could not pay. So I was going to spend my eternity separated from God forever. And yet Jesus did that for me. He died for me in my place. That's the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches about what Christ did. And so I heard that message, and the pastor said, if you will turn your life over to Jesus, if you will ask him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your life and save you, he will save you. At that moment, I didn't care anything about Baptist. I didn't care anything about Methodist. I didn't care anything about... All I knew is that I was a junior, finished my junior year in high school. My dad had died a year ago. I didn't know where in the world I was going to go. I had a few friends that were reaching out to me, but I thought life was all about sports and all about power and all about popularity. But I knew I was guilty. I knew I had sin in my life. And when he said Jesus would take your sin, I said, sign me up. I need you, Lord. I don't know a lot about this, but I know I need Christ. And that is the blessing of salvation. This is the picture of it. He says, you've not allowed my foes to rejoice over me. Verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. Now this is where we see a flavor here that perhaps in not only in the spiritual realm of salvation, there may have been some physical healing that came to David in his life. He said, I cried out to you and you healed me. Oh Lord, you brought my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. The blessing of salvation. Sir James Simpson, a great medical doctor who actually developed chloroform, became the first anesthesia that was ever really invented. Some students asked him, I believe it was in Edinburgh, Scotland, in a meeting. They said, Sir James, what is the greatest discovery of your life? And they thought he would say, well, obviously it was chloroform. It's what I speak about. It's what my whole life has revolved around. And they were surprised when they asked Sir James Simpson, what is the greatest discovery of your life? When he said this, when I discovered myself a sinner and Jesus a Savior. It's the greatest discovery of his life. And can I say this to you? I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but if you have not settled the blessing of salvation, because I can tell you this, no matter what hardship you face, knowing that one day you will spend eternity with your Lord helps you endure whatever difficulty. That is, this is a real world solution to difficulty David is giving us. The blessing of salvation. Number two, the blessing of joy. Verses 4 and 5. Sing praise to the Lord, you his saints, and give thanks to the at the remembrance of his holy name. Now he's saying to the congregation, it's like me saying to you, now look, I've told you about my salvation. What about yours? We ought to all praise him. That's what Robert led us to do. We corporately praise the Lord, and he's calling for all the saints to praise the Lord. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Now, here's the chastisement. We're going to get into it here in a minute in the next section. But he says there in this section, he says his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for life. The conviction of the Lord is just for a moment, but to be right with God, to be in line with God, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ every day of your life will last forever. It's for eternity. And so he says, sing praise to the Lord. He wants the congregation to praise him. He says, we are going to give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. He blesses us out of his character. His holiness is what causes him to do what he does. Verse 4 reminds us that we are to remember all of his blessings. But then he says, his anger is for a moment. God's correction is just for a moment, but his favor is for life. And then in verse 5, I love the end of this verse. It says, for his anger is for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Kelly has a saying with all of us in the family. She says, molehills become mountains at night. Just wait till the morning. Thank you for that, honey. It's true. Kelly say, let's just have prayer because molehills become mountains at night. Molehills become mountains. You know, it's interesting that God's day starts with the evening. In Genesis, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. Can I say this to you about sorrow? Sorrow is a passing wayfarer who tarries for the night. When the dawn comes, he leaves and joy takes his place. In the evening and the morning, you know, there's going to be a new morning. Think about the resurrection happened on a morning, right? You think about the new dawn of eternity when this life is over and we step to the other side and we're in the presence of God. So you think about joy. I love that phrase. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The blessing of joy. Number 3, the blessing of conviction. Now here is where he is chastised in verse 6 and 7. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. That was David's sin. He said, now in my prosperity, I said to myself, I shall never be moved. In other words, everything is good. Can I say this? I heard this years ago, and the more I live, I think it's true. A man is tested by adversity. Now listen to me. A man is tested by adversity. But a man is greatly tested even more by plenty. What are you going to do when you can do what you want to do? In other words, the true test, he says, in my prosperity is when he got off track. Hey, listen, if we've got tons of problems, and we do, amen, we've got problems, we've got pressures, we cry out to God. I heard one pastor say, you know, we shoot up flares, Mark, flares, you know, boom, Lord, do you see me? We ask God for help. But let me tell you, when you're tested, when everything's going well, and in your prosperity, what is your response? And here's what David did. He was in his prosperity, and he thought, man, I've got it all. You know, to think you have it all is a major mistake. John D. Rockefeller, Sr., at age 33, made his first $1 million. At 43, he was the chairman of the largest company in the world. At 53, he was the richest man in the world. And at that time, now this is going to date it, he was the only billionaire at that time, at age 53. He made $1 million a week. But here's what happened to him. He developed a sickness called alopecia, where the hair of his head dropped off, his eyelashes and his eyebrows disappeared, and he was shrunken like a monkey. Excuse me, not a monkey, like a mummy, okay? Can I just do that every once in a while? I mean, thank you, all right? Okay. He was shrunken like a mummy. His weekly income was $1 million, but he digested, listen to this, he digested only milk and crackers. $1 million a week, and he digested only milk and crackers. He was so hated in Pennsylvania that he had to have bodyguards day and night. He could not sleep. He stopped smiling long since and enjoyed nothing in life. The doctors predicted he would not live over 1 year. He was 53 years old when it was talking about this period in his life. The newspaper had gleefully written his obituary in advance for convenience in sudden use. Those sleepless nights set him thinking. He realized with a new light that he could not take one dime of all that money into the next world. And so he got up the next day and he said, I want to start giving money away. He started the John D. Rockefeller Foundation, which has greatly benefited so many people in medicine and other things, became a foundation for so much good that was done. He decided he couldn't take it with him. He started giving away to churches, started blessing other people, started that foundation. The doctor said, you will not live 1 year with this alopecia. He died at 98. Hey, listen. David came to the realization. He said in verse 6, now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. And then watch this in verse 7. Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain stand strong. I realize now that it's only by you that my mountain has stood strong. And then listen to this phrase right here. You hid your face and I was troubled. That word trouble is a very powerful word. It means confusion. It means helplessness. It means terror. God hid his face. Can I say this? If God just turned his blessing away from your life, things would be so different. And God turned his face from David, and David realized it. And he realized, you know what? Why am I doing this? Are you under conviction? You know what? David was under conviction, and he wrote a psalm of thanksgiving about it. Now, this may sound unusual, but I'm going to say it anyway. You should praise God if you have the conviction of God in your life. But let me tell you what's dangerous. It's dangerous when you can live any way you want to live and you don't sense any conviction about it. That is so dangerous. You know, the Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Do you know, there's some people that say, oh, you know, I'll give my life to Jesus one day down the road. You know, I'm going to live it up now, man. I'm going to do what I want to do. And the Holy Spirit begins to thump on their heart. You know what that's like? Oh, whew, boy, I know what it's like when I've done something I shouldn't do and the Lord convicts me and I sense the convicting power of God. Or that day when I was a teenager and I felt like God was wooing me to Him, to give my life to Him, man, my heart began to beat. I've heard people talk about holding on to the pews. We don't have pews here. We call them pew chairs. But we got some pew chairs that have indentions in them from people that have been under conviction to give their life to God because they sense God wooing them. Can I tell you this? The greatest thing in the world is to know that God, who created this world, is after you. He's speaking to you. He's trying to get you to do something for Him. He's moving upon your life. Oh, God, if I ever lost that. Oh, listen, what conviction. What a blessing conviction is. And we have pew chairs that have indentions in them, people that have just fought with God. But I just want to say this. In Deuteronomy it says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And there are some, I'm afraid, that have said no and hardened their hearts so many times that they can sit through a message like this. They can sit through a Bible study. They can sit through Dr. Graham on the TV. They can sit through someone with tears in their eyes pleading with them to give their life to God. And they are not moved one bit. They just sit there like stone. I don't know about you, but I'll take the conviction of God. I don't know about you, but I'll take this idea that I can be troubled by God. And David, he's troubled by the Lord. He got haughty in his ways and said, Lord, I can do this on my own. And the Lord turned his face and then he got troubled about it. Can I say this to you? If you're troubled about anything, you better respond. If you're troubled about anything, maybe it's about your salvation, settle it. Maybe it's about your marriage, something you need to do with your spouse and in prayers, telling them you love them, being forgiving. Maybe it's something with your children. You're troubled about it. Maybe it's something in your job. Maybe it's an integrity issue that you're dealing with. But it's a blessing to have the Holy Spirit of God wooing you and bringing conviction in your life. If you're under conviction, that is a blessing. And so don't take the blessings of God for granted. Don't take them for granted. Everything you have that's good in this life is from the hand of God. Number four, quickly, the blessing of prayer. Here's his prayer to the Lord in verse 8 and 9. I cried to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? That was his argument. Lord, if I die, my blood's in the ground. I can't praise you. This was an Old Testament concept David was talking about. He says, if I go in the ground, I can't praise you. Leave me here, Lord. That's what he's saying to God. Leave me here. Let me praise you now. Verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. That's his prayer. Aren't you thankful for prayer? Lord, be my helper. Number five, and we'll finish with this one. The blessing of worship. In verse 11, I love this phrase. This is awesome. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You just thought that it was a difficult situation you were in, but God can turn it into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. By the way, look at that word gladness in verse 11, and then look at the word rejoice over me in verse 1. The word rejoice, those are the same words. So here's what David is saying. He said, instead of my enemies rejoicing over me, you've clothed me with rejoicing and gladness. Isn't that a contrast? And that's what David is saying. We ought to be grateful to him because the blessing of worship. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness to the end that my glory, and that word glory is the same word for my soul, the real David, can say, to the end that my soul or my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever and ever. Johnny Erickson Tata, some of y'all remember that name. Johnny Erickson in 1967, I remember as a teenager seeing the movie about her in the 70s. Johnny Erickson was a diver, and she dove on a recreational trip in the water. She dove and broke her neck in shallow water by accident, and she became a paraplegic. For 2 years, she learned how to paint with her teeth. I'll never forget seeing her in that movie. They portrayed her story, and I remember at the end, she came out and she said, I would not trade the chair. I would not take the wheelchair away from me because what God has done in my life through the difficulty. What she was basically saying is what David said. David said, I messed up here, Lord, but you have restored me. You've saved me. And she was basically saying, you know what you've done? You've turned my mourning into dancing. Can I tell you this? The Christian life is the only faith where you can take the heartaches that we experience, and there is an explanation. Not only is there an explanation, but there is power to come out of it, and power to come out on the other side from mourning to dancing. Kelly asked her mom if I could just briefly tell this quick story. Kelly's mom, some of y'all may not know this, she lost her dad to kidney disease when she was about in the eighth grade. Is that right? And y'all remember Edith Carr, Kelly's grandmother, Ms. Brannon's mother. We called her Dee Dee. She went to heaven a couple Easters ago. Well, Dee Dee was in Sylacauga, Alabama, and Ms. Brannon was about to go into high school. Imagine. Your dad has just died. You have a brother, and your mom announces to you that we're moving to another town. Well, if there was ever anything that you would have wanted to keep consistent would have been her friends, her school. She was about to go into high school, and now she's thinking, now I've got to go in to a brand new high school, to a brand new town. I don't know anybody. She was in mourning. She had lost her dad. I'm the beneficiary of that mourning. Because she went to Anniston, and she went to Anniston High School, and the first day of school, she met a redheaded kid named Jerry. And Jerry was president of the student body, and he needed a secretary for the president of the student body. And he met Pat, and he said, would you take notes for me in this next meeting? And they stood over by the radiator. You know, the thing that makes heat. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. The radiator. And they stood over there, and all of a sudden, mourning became dancing. And then the little girl came along, and they're one of their four. And then a little redheaded kid was born in another town. Then North Central Baptist had a part because we were both here. And guess what happened to me? When I got saved and I trusted the Lord, I came down here to North Central, and y'all took me in. And guess what I started doing? Mourning turned to dancing. So, amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.